He said there, "Hold fast the pattern of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus." That phrase, hold fast that pattern of sound words. This is something that you need to repeat and remind ourselves continuously of. We're in a world that demands change. And just as the theme of the sermon after a while will be along some of the similar lines, the world is constantly changing, and we have to guard ourselves against change for the sake of change. We've got to be aware of the patterns that God has made for us, regardless of what it's in, that we hold true to those and that we don't let ourselves be pulled away from that. Familiar patterns. We all are familiar with rule books. Paul even used that as an example when he wrote the Corinthians about how an athlete, you know, trains, but they all have to compete according to the rules. Without rules, there's chaos, nothing works. Got to be a rule book. A game is played that way just the same. It's a restrictive pattern that governs what you can and you cannot do in competing and playing that game. That has to be true no matter where or when. That has to happen. We're all familiar with the blueprint. Used to work in a machine shop, and blueprints were very important. Every dimension was critical because everything had to work together as it was designed. If you didn't follow the blueprint, if you didn't follow the dimensions given you, when you got done, you didn't have what you were desiring to make. It was something different than what the blueprint had. Same with building a house, cooking, baking a cake. We have to go by that or by the recipe, or we don't get what we want. I remember Mom, when I was younger, she used to sew a lot. She sewed all my sister's clothes and some of ours as kids, and laying those patterns out to cut that material and sew those things together, and how she could recreate or reproduce that picture that was on the front of that white envelope that those patterns came in. If she didn't follow that pattern, she didn't get what the picture was. But God's used the patterns in the past. Genesis 6, 14 through 6, you all recognize that place in Genesis is early on when Noah is in the context. And in Genesis 6, verses 14 and 15, it says, "Make yourself an ark of gopher wood. Make rooms in the ark, cover it inside and out with pitch. And this is how you'll make it. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits. Its width 50. Its height 30. You shall make a window." He goes on to say, "You set a door in it. You make a lower, second, third decks." He gives some specific pattern that he wants used to create the ark as he wanted it to. And we understand completely in our minds, or we should, that we follow those directions or else we do not get what we're looking for. We have to follow God's art or God's pattern when it comes to these things. Exodus 25 talks a lot about the tabernacle, the specific things that he set in place for the tabernacle. He gave them a pattern. You'll find that in Exodus 25, 8 through 9, and verse 40 as well. Moses was given that, and it was imperative because he was reminded after that to be sure that he followed according to that pattern. He was not to deviate from that pattern. It was God's pattern, and he had to do it. Hebrews 8 and verse 5. Back up to 4. "If he were on earth, he would not be a priest, since there are priests who offer the gifts according to law," speaking of Christ, "who serve the copy and shadow of heavenly things, as Moses was divinely instructed when he was about to make the tabernacle, for he said, see that you make all things according to the pattern shown you on the mountain. That was God's specific command. God's patterns have always been that way. We need to be firm in our minds that God has set in place things and set patterns. We've received this word over 2,000 years ago. If we're finding new things or think we're finding new things, we need to throw a red flag up, because we've had this word for 2,000 years. God has given us our patterns. He's given us everything we need, 1 Peter, for life and godliness. There's nothing we lack. So we need to know that. The temple was no different. Remember when Solomon built the temple? 1 Chronicles 28 and verse 19. They were given their patterns. I'm not going to read a lot on this part because I want to move on to the next part of the lesson. But we see that temple pattern. We saw the instruction that was given them. All that had to be done to that dimension and to that pattern that God gave them, or it was not acceptable to Him. I know when I was looking at this earlier, especially when it came to the tabernacle or the ark, how God was so specific of what He wanted. It was His dwelling place, and He wanted things the way He said for them to do. No doubt why He issued that warning to Moses to be sure that he held according to that pattern. We got patterns today, is where we're going with this, in present day, that we have to hold fast to. God gave us these things to direct us, to guide us in a manner that we can live our lives according to His will, as we mentioned in our prayer, and have an eternity that we can spend with Him. Whatever God says on a pattern, on a given subject, constitutes the pattern for that issue. It's almost as if I've had a conversation or two here in the recent past. Some of it came up over the use of the Lord's treasury. But it really suits or fits any pattern that God gives us. When God gives us specific instruction, if He gives us example, we are given that and we don't deviate from that. That's if you are allowed to do that, that's where you fall into these traps where I have to have a biblical scripture that says I can't do something. And that's where we fall into problems when we get into that kind of mindset. When God gives us instruction, that constitutes His pattern. And that's what we are to follow. I've got about eight things here, eight patterns that we're to hold fast to, that we see around us, things that most of us are very aware of, but I would remind you that if we're still having discussions about being able to do things because it doesn't say we can't do them, we've got to be careful with that. That's a problem that we can get into very quickly. We need to be aware of patterns. I've always had a little thing in my mind, and I know some of you all have had more, and I've invite you to speak up. When you go to God's Word for help, when you go to God's Word to see there, it's very important our mindset when we go. Are we going to find what we must do, or are we going to find what we want and what we need to prop what we want up? Because if we go in with a mindset like that, it's easy for us to direct ourselves and not get a complete picture of what we must do. We don't want to alter. Even when you want to go back to the basics of authority, and we've studied authority here at Mill Street several times, and we'll continue to do so because it's obviously a problem with some of losing the mindset of authority. You know, we're given commands, we're given examples, and then there's necessary inferences that can be made, but it's the necessary inferences that many fall into the rut and problem with. Inferences that are inferred are to prop up and to benefit what is there, written there. It can't change or alter what God has already said on the subject. So we need to keep these parameters, these gutter guards in place to keep ourselves focused, or we lose our way and we come up with things. Another thing that I thought of, anytime we get into a situation where we're putting man in control of saying, well, this will be all right in this situation, but not in that, then we're having trouble again because we found ourselves outside of what God's Scripture gives us, and we're putting the ability for man to decide what's right and wrong, and you can't do that. God's Word tells us what's right or wrong, and that's why we have to stick strictly to it. Some patterns to hold fast. The name pattern. Most people don't even think about it. It's the denominational world. Don't even think about it. The name of our church. It's Christ's church. It's not ours. It's Christ. There's one church that Christ set up. One church that was instituted. Romans 16:16 is a verse that we often go to greet one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ greet you or salute you, depending on what it is, but Christ, there's a name for the church, and it's Christ's church. World has attached man's name to things. They think that it's fine, whatever you want to name a church, you name a church, as long as we're worshiping the same God, and that's something else that's not found in Scripture as well. Non-scriptural things. Acts 11, verse 26. And when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. That was Barnabas seeking Saul. He brought Saul to Antioch. So it was there for a whole year. They assembled with the church and taught a great many people. And the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. That's the only name that we have is Christian. By any other name, we're falling under a man's name. An institution that's been created by man and a name that's been given us by man. We're all Christians, aren't we? That's one of our patterns that we need to hear for. Number two, the evangelism pattern. Back up to Acts 8:4. There's always been a pattern of evangelism. It says in 8:4 there of Acts, therefore those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word. I've got underlined preaching the word. What is it? 1 Corinthians 1, I think 20. 21-22, that mentions that God chose through the foolishness or the simplicity of preaching that word, that gospel would be spread, His work would be done. That's always been the pattern. God's word, truth, has been taken out to the world by preaching. Philippians 4. 15 and 16. Any one of these patterns you can go back and you can spend more time on. But we're touching the top of them to emphasize the importance of following these patterns. Philippians 4, 15 and 16. Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me concerning giving and receiving, but you only. For even in Thessalonica you sent, once and again for my necessities. We see Paul that's out. The evangelism is being taken out. He's being supported by those, is the context of the scripture that we read there. But we see how the word is spread and the gospel is spread. The pattern of evangelism is just good old preaching. Taking the word out, proclaiming the word. We got a pattern when it comes to benevolence. This is the subject of one of my conversations that kind of got me on this subject that was recently said. Exception, was taken with the fact that more work wasn't done by the Church of Christ for the tornado victims that we had recently. So that led to about an hour's conversation, but I don't know that anything was accomplished from that, but stressed the importance of benevolence when it comes to the Lord's treasury. We have to be able to understand the difference between the Lord's treasury use and us as individuals. We both have responsibilities to help, but we have to keep those things in their own pattern. Because there's no scripture that says you cannot give the Lord's funds to non-Christians, that doesn't mean that you can. Because this is a perfect example of where God gave pattern. They followed the pattern. The pattern was only to the church, to the saints, from the Lord's treasury. That's all you see. Every good work that you study in the New Testament, I've yet to find one, but every good work that it talks about refers to what we do as individuals, not with the Lord's treasury. The Lord's treasury has a pattern of what they did. You can look at patterns. It comes from Acts 2, Acts 4, Acts 6. You see these things. Go to Acts 11 as a good example, because we're not going to get through this if I don't. Acts 11, verses 27 through 30. That's the last few verses there of Acts 11. And in these days, prophets came from Jerusalem to Antioch. Then one of them, named Agabus, stood up and showed by the Spirit that there's going to be a great famine throughout all the world, which also happened in the days of Claudius Caesar. Then the disciples, each according to his ability, determined to send relief to the brethren dwelling in Judea. They also did, and sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. I have brethren underlined in verse 29. These funds were collected and sent for the relief of the church, the brethren. The treasury that was collected together went to the aid or the help of the brethren, not the non-Christians. That Christ, with his ability that he's shown us to feed people, to cure sickness, to do all that, he could have established a means and a mechanism through the church to do anything he wanted to, but that was not the intent of the church. The church was to spread the gospel. And that's what we do, because that is the pattern that we have. He's given us that. 1 Timothy Timothy 5:16. He's given further, the reason that this is here, he's given further instruction about the relief of the widows, use of the Lord's treasury, in other words. And he says in verse 16 of chapter 5, 1 Timothy, if any believing man or woman has widows, let them relieve them, and do not let the church be burdened that it may relieve those who are really widows. These are instructions that are to the church, to the brethren, to the believing man or woman. We don't have example of them ever assisting the widows. Even when the Hellenists, When the deacons, the office or position of a deacon first came up, when the Hellenists accused them of not being fair to the widows or whatnot, you know, seven men were put in place, one of which was Stephen, to take care of tables, to wait on tables. That was to the believers. That was to the church. All these things show us a pattern of how we do that. Anybody got anything they want to add on that?
Of the church. As long, unless a disaster happens that takes all of my children, all of my grandchildren, nieces, nephews, brothers, all that, unless something like that happens, I will never fall to be your all's responsibility.
It's certainly on them. It's certainly on them to take care of you.
That's the way it is.
Yeah. Ephesians, let's go to the organization pattern. I'm just on number 4. The organization of the church. Please write these verses down and go back. Ephesians 1, 22 through 23. And Philippians 1, 1. Use those this week to dig in further and look at this. But what we see there are the offices of the church, the structure and the order that was placed into the church. That's the pattern that was given us. We have the members, we have the elders that oversee, and we have the deacons. From those, you have ministers that are fit in those, but that is the structure and the order that was set in place. It doesn't say we can't have a pope, I get that. But if we make the necessary inference that another position or office is needed, how can we have another position or office without changing the pattern that God said? He put in place the elder, the deacon, the members. We need to stick to that. We can't break from that organizational pattern without altering, changing the pattern that God put in place. We'll probably read some of this later in our service, the Lord's Supper pattern. Matthew 26, we often go there and we read Christ's instructions. He instituted the Lord's Supper there on that night and the things that He went through. Acts 20 and verse 7, we're shown there of the brethren that met on the first day of the week to partake of the Lord's Supper. That gives us a pattern. Now that pattern, we can't do anything that would change that pattern of being on the first day of the week. It doesn't say the first day of the week once a year. It doesn't say the first. If we add anything to that, we change the pattern. It's the first day of the week, period. We can't go on past that. 1 Corinthians 11, 23 and 34 is another one you can go to there for the Lord's Supper pattern. Number 6, God gave us a pattern in our worship, which includes our singing. So we have a pattern when it comes to music. Ephesians 5:19, Colossians 3:16 both instruct us that we sing. There's no scripture about adding a musical instrument to our worship. If we necessarily infer that we have to have those or need those because they're not commanded, we have no example of them there. So if we think that there's an inference to needing an addition, we can't do that without changing the pattern that God gave us in what we do have. The conversion pattern. We all remember our chapters of conversion, Acts 2, Acts 8, Acts 9, Acts 10, Acts 16, Acts 18, Acts 19. We need to remember those because we have the pattern within those of conversion and how that happens. It's not commanded to sprinkle. It's no example of sprinkling. So if we infer that sprinkling works, we're changing the pattern that God gave us. We have God's instruction that we hear, believe, repent, confess, and then we're baptized. Then we have to live our life faithfully. That's the pattern that we see in salvation that God gave us. And anything different from that changes the pattern that God gave us. I like the comment that Donnie often makes. If we do the same thing they did back in the beginning, we'll be the same thing they became. If we do something different, we're not going to become what they were. A perfect example of a pattern not being followed don't produce the same thing that you're trying to reproduce. Acts 2 through 19 is some good study for the conversion pair. 1 Timothy 1:16. However, for this reason I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show all longsuffering as a pattern to those who are going to believe on Him for everlasting life. A pattern. We see a pattern referred to there in conversion, Paul's conversion, that he once used. And we know in his conversion and his two instances of where he recounts his conversion, that he followed that same pattern, and the same pattern that we need to. 8, the last one. We've got a pattern when it comes to returning or restoring ourselves. We have patterns of how that happens. Go to Acts 8. Acts 8, 20 through 22. We got the instance here of Simon, you know, when he offers money for this ability to pass on the Holy Spirit. He wants in on that. And when he was rebuked for that, verse 20 of chapter 8, Acts, Peter said to him, "Your money perish with you because you thought that the gift of God could be purchased with money. You have neither part nor portion in this matter, for your heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent, therefore, of this your wickedness, and pray God if perhaps the thought of your heart might be forgiven." We see a pattern here. Repentance had to come from that. Pray to God for forgiveness. That's one of the blessings that we have when we are baptized into the church, into the body. 1 Corinthians 12:13, when we're in Christ, Galatians 3:27, we have this ability to repent of our sins and pray to God for forgiveness. That's not, well, that the world does not have that. It's only the church that has that. Salvation has to come. Submission to Christ and baptism, Acts 2:38, for the remission of sins, will take care of sins past. Once you're in the church, then you have this avenue of forgiveness by confession, prayer, to be forgiven. 1 John 1:9-2, we see there an example that you could add to the return and the restoration. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all righteousness. So with those two verses, you have that you pray to God, you confess your sins to Him, and you ask for forgiveness. And that is the way He forgives. Repentance is the big word there. We can't continue in what we're doing expecting to get forgiveness for what we've done. Repentance is a change of action. Ask yourself, if I have a problem, what's repentance going to look like? If it's the same, if you're going on the same as you were, that's not repentance. Repentance doesn't mean I'm sorry. I'm really, really, really heartfelt sorry. No, repentance requires a change, and a change of action. We can't stay in our current situations if it's sinful. James 1:25 reminds us, God's pattern is perfect. We often look at Deuteronomy 4:2 and Revelations 22 that we don't add nor do we take away from God's Word, because that pollutes, contaminates the pattern that God has given us in instruction. And if we don't do what God says to do, we're not going to become what God wants us to be. Can't have an eternity with Him in a relationship like that. I remind myself often, 2 Peter 1:3, God has given us all things. Everything we need, we have at our fingertips. Literally, at our fingertips. If we're messing around in things that we don't have scripture for. We need to throw up the radar. I've got off track. I've got out of the scripture, and I've got into something that I'm making decisions on, and that's not good. If God has a pattern, we need to conform to that pattern. We need to stick to it. These patterns, 1 Corinthians, and I know I'm running out of time here, and I'll 1 Corinthians 4, 17. For this reason I've sent Timothy to you, who is my beloved and faithful son in the Lord, who will remind you of my ways in Christ as I teach everywhere in every church. These things were given to all of us. Unity should look very similar everywhere we go. Tammy and I get to travel quite a bit, and I'm always encouraged to sit in the audience of a congregation and see there what I see here. Some people get tired of things because they're looking for stimulation in things they want. If I'm not seeing what I see here, I know there's a problem, because God has a pattern. That pattern is going to look very similar. It's going to look pretty much the same anywhere you go. If it don't, we need to be looking, don't we? Go over to chapter 7, verse 17. But as God has distributed to each one, as the Lord has called each one, so let him walk. And so I ordain in all the churches. All the churches. We ought to look the same when we come together in what we do. That's unity, Philippians 3, 16. I know we've jumped over a lot kind of quick, but it's all patterns. We need to remind ourselves continuously of authority. Never get tired of studying authority. Because I heard it said somewhere before, why do we keep talking about the same thing? It's because many keep falling to the same thing. We have to address the problems and how we get off track when we lose our authority in God's Word. Anybody got anything to add, clarify, clean up? Thank you.